Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
So the question today is, do you know it to be true? Not only in coming to Him, but living through Him. Coming into Him in a living relationship that empowers then how you live the rest of your life. That's the promise. We're here 2 weeks out from Easter. We're here in the witness of God in history of the power of the great reversal. Life over death. Hope over despair. Grace over sin. Love over hate. The power of this great reversal means that we are a people of reversal and the promise of God. Stepping into that promise, claiming this promise for our own lives. I mean, I was asking God a bunch of questions at 2:30 this morning. I said, Lord, you called me to be a pastor, and what's this lightning out there and the thunder and the heavy rain coming? I said, Lord, don't you know it's going to be more difficult for some people to make decisions to be coming? And the Lord says, the rain falls when the rain falls. So I started praying for you, and it is great to see you. And I understand that when you got out of your car, some of you, like Noah's Ark, had some zebras and giraffes getting out of the car there with you. And I also see a lot of Texas Tech fans here. And I see some Baylor Bear women's basketball team fans here. You kind of look at and we see what we see of who we are and what's going on and within our lives. And that's the power of what was happening to Zacchaeus on that Sunday or that day of the week that would be forever different for him. The scripture says that he climbed a tree. That sycamore tree could be translated the mulberry tree. And given that one of our campuses is on mulberry, I'd just soon translate that the mulberry tree that he climbed up. It was a fig tree, mulberry tree, and it was kind of had a big trunk, and it was kind of short in stature like Zacchaeus, and had big kind of branches coming out from it. It was easy for him to kind of wrestle his way up to find his place to be there. And so Zacchaeus was willing to embarrass himself. To remove the embarrassment of his life. He was willing to humble himself in order to experience what his soul thirsted and hungered to know, this love of God. Now, I'm the youngest of four kids and family I grew up in. Any other youngest ones here? Okay, all right. I think I see some the oldest ones in the family out here too. Yeah, well, I had two older brothers and an older sister, and you know, we were a close family, but you know, we were family of people. You know how that is. And one of my brothers particularly was at a stretch of life when he enjoyed making it clear that he was bigger and stronger than me. And so there are times when we'd wrestle and he'd throw me down and he'd stretch out my arms like this and he'd put his knees on my shoulders. And then he would say, okay, what do you say? And back in our day, that was when you're supposed to say uncle, you know? And that's the last thing I wanted to say. I fought and fought, but I thought if I'm going to get anywhere else the rest of my life, I had to say uncle. And sometimes we can feel like coming to God is just like that. But I've got good news for you. It's nothing like that. It is nothing of God's forcing himself on you. It is everything about his loving arms holding you, getting your attention, and saying, you need to understand how much you need me in order for you to live the kind of life that you can only live by me being your Savior. The week after this Zacchaeus story in Jericho, Jesus was going to go from 1,000 feet beneath the sea level of about the Dead Sea, and he was going to go up this dangerous 18-mile trip up a road, almost 4,000 feet. And what was waiting for him in Jerusalem is what we're going to highlight next Sunday. And that is when he entered in Jerusalem. It was the last week in his life, and that he literally would show his love for me in transforming history on the tree of life called the crucifixion, on Calvary, the new tree of life that gives us all the gift of forgiveness. Jesus is only days away from this in the story. But he's paying attention to people. On the other side of Jericho, Zacchaeus had gotten word that Jesus was entering into Jericho, and there was a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus, the son of Tim. And when he got there, then Bartimaeus was blind, called out to Jesus, said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus heard his voice, saw Bartimaeus, and healed him. Well, the word stirred through the crowd. And it got to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus took that hunger inside of his life and said, "I need to see this man, this one, to see if he truly is the Messiah." Now, he had heard Jesus say that, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And the last thing that Zacchaeus was pure in heart, and he had only seen a hope that there could be a God. But when he saw Jesus, he knew this really was the Son of God. And in order to get to see Jesus, he had to climb up that mulberry tree. When Jesus arrived on the scene, as you know the story, you sang the story, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And up in that sycamore mulberry tree, when Jesus looked into the soul of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus knew that he had been seen by the eyes of God. And the power of life's great reversals is that God wants your reversal to be filled with heavenly power. See, Zacchaeus was convinced the only way to live and get ahead in this world was only by worldly power. And that power is real, but it's the power that will take us under. How it worked in the tax season, I understand April 15th is coming. Is that right? It's the tax day, the day after Palm Sunday. And so in his day, somebody in the Roman Empire who had enough money would buy the rights to raise the taxes in a region of a country. And then that person would hire the services of someone to get all the tariffs and the taxes. And the person would be reimbursed for having purchased the right to get the taxes and then get a lot of profit. And he could get as much profit as he wanted to as long as the guy stayed in power. And so Zacchaeus was the chief person to raise up the revenue. And it says he was a wealthy man, so that tells us a lot. He was good at getting money for the guy who wanted all the money, and he's kept a lot of it for himself. And he wasn't liked very much. Can you imagine why Zacchaeus would not be liked very much? And honestly, he didn't like the people either. He's pretty angry at them. He's pretty angry at his country. He was pretty angry at the God who said that he was going to help his country. He'd given up hope and all of that. And up on that mulberry tree, when Jesus looked at him, he realized there's this great reversal that's underway. Something was stirring inside of Jesus, like the purpose of his whole mission. Jesus would say what that purpose was at the end of the story in Luke 19:10. He would say, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Right. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save Republicans. Right? No, maybe over here. Well, for the Son of Man came to seek and save Democrats. No, not over here. For the Son of Man came to seek only Texans. Right? No, not that. For the Son of Man came only to save Anglos, no. Hispanics, no. Asians, no. African Americans, no, it's not what it says. What does it say? All. And the truth is, we're all lost without finding our way in Him. And in the power of that, Zacchaeus saw that Jesus was on His mission to save not only him, but everyone. So it unfolded that he looked in Jesus' direction. Have you noticed that you want to get your direction, you got to look where you want to go? And so in order to look in Jesus' direction to be able to see what was there. And then when Jesus looked up at him, he felt that purity coming into his life. It was the kind of purity where we don't get ourselves cleaned up beforehand, but we have to come to him and he cleans us up. It's one of the great reversals in life is when we say, I'm sorry. We begin a new dimension in the relationship by saying, I'm sorry. Another part is to say, I forgive you. And so the power of this coming to him is that Zacchaeus wanted to become a believer, not only wanted to believe. He knew he could believe, but now he wanted to become in his belief. He wanted to become what all of that would mean. So he looked in Jesus' direction. And we will look in Jesus' direction. We never get lost. It doesn't mean it's going to be an easy road, but we never get lost in the way, the truth, and the life. Vicky's family, that's my wife, for 43 years we've been married. God's grace is good. She's a woman that deserves much better, but I'm glad she's willing to stay, hang in there with me. And so her family is in this weekend. It sounds kind of odd of that. I mean, I've known her mother since I was 13 years old, but we still say it's Vicky's family that's in. And we got people sleeping all over the house. And I remember as we're in this Easter season, the Easter season of 2005, her family who had lived in Texas and her dad and mother moved to Arkansas, northwest Arkansas, and they lived there for 25 years. And then they were going to move back to Texas to a suburb of Dallas called Maypearl, Texas. Look it up in the map. It's a fascinating place. It's about 300 people. And so they were moving there. They had a little piece of land. And my brother-in-law, who's probably my father-in-law's favorite son-in-law, you caught that, okay? He was a builder, and he built a nice house in this piece of land. We're headed towards Easter in 2005, and there were some mischievous boys doing some bad things. And they were arsons, and they burned the house down. They hadn't moved in yet. The possessions weren't there. Nobody was sleeping at the house that night. But this brand new house had the upside down kind of reversal. It was burned down days before moving in. Well, my father-in-law and mother-in-law could have really cursed all of that scene. Oh, they felt the pain of it. They felt the anguish and agony of all of that. But they were grateful that they were alive, that no one was hurt, that they could rebuild. And my brother-in-law was willing to rebuild it. It's the power of a family that looks in Jesus' direction, defines an energy to kind of catch their breath and to see what he can make possible when somebody had tried to burn down their dreams in life, but they didn't have the power to burn those dreams down and keep them in the ashes, but the power of God can have them rise again, not just like a phoenix, but like the body of Christ. Your life. Somebody came your way and it's like they burned down your dreams. You look at Jesus. Either you've been looking at Jesus and you've been rebuilding and you realize it can even be better than ever before. Or today you're looking in the power of the Christ to be able to rebuild and to see what is it he can do. Look. And then to step into the changed life that Jesus offers you. One of our friends of many of us here is Brian Floyd. Greets us on Sunday morning right here at our TriPoint campus. And come on in. He was the man, if you didn't get to talk with him much, who didn't have all of his left arm. It had been amputated more than a decade ago. The thing about Brian is that when wonderful, beautiful son of Donna and when he was a little boy, he was just a toddler, there was a car accident, and he suffered a brain injury. And that brain injury had an effect for him all his life. But he pushed through it by the grace of God. And two years after graduating from high school, he was in a bone-crushing, literally a bone-crushing, organ-bruising accident that took months to recover. But Brian looked at Jesus and stepped into the power of what that look would show him, about a belief that would not let go, but a belief that had a tomorrow to reshape today. And then he was diagnosed with cancer, and they were going to have to amputate the lower half of his left arm. And Brian was a guitarist. He loved playing the guitar. And so the night before his surgery, knowing he could never play the guitar again like he had in the past, he played that guitar all night long. He played the guitar when the sun was coming up. He played it in a gratitude and a grief and a promise of what could still be. When we look at Jesus and we step into his full presence, we experience now what Zacchaeus got then. Because when Jesus said, as you come down from there and I'm going to your house today, Zacchaeus just jumped to the ground. He ran into his future. He ran into the changed life that Christ was giving him, and on the way to the house, he felt purity in his life that he had never felt before. And he got to the house, he looked at the people, and instead of the people smiling and saying, isn't this wonderful? What were the people doing? Well, they were muttering and cursing. How dare Jesus? How dare God try to answer our prayers this way? I mean, they had prayed for Jericho to change. They had prayed for God to do his thing on Zacchaeus. I mean, hold him accountable. Instead of what God did, is he said he's going to his house. But God does an amazing thing in the reversal when our enemies become friends. God does an amazing thing when a lost cause becomes the winning cause. Because Zacchaeus looked at everyone and he realized he had wronged them. And before God and as a changed person, his belief changed his behavior. Got that? Belief changes behavior. You're sleeping with somebody now that you shouldn't be sleeping with. Don't sleep with them tonight. You're angry with somebody today that you need to let go of that. You pray to God, he'll give you the power to let go of it. You'll want to pick it up again tomorrow morning and be angry all over again. You pray it again to God, he'll give you the power for that behavior to be changed, because that holding on to that anger is doing nothing but pulling you down. It changed his behavior. And he looked and he said, Lord, I have stolen from these people. I'm giving to the poor half of all of what I have. And to those who can prove, he was still a prudent man, those who can prove that I had stolen from them, then I will give them four times as much as what I took from them. The law didn't require that much. He understood that the generous love of God was making him a generous person. Instead of how little can I give? It's how much can I give as a sign of this joy? And then this most amazing transformation happened. Not only that this outsider had become an insider, this broken man was healed, this lost man was found, the man was reconciled to God and to people. Because in Luke 19:9, Jesus said, looking at Zacchaeus, and he said, today, salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. That was a big deal with the Jewish people. Son of Abraham, the beginner of that kind of lineage, okay? Man of great faith. So he belonged, and, you know, he mattered. He was in the family. And then Jesus said, why do I do this? But I do this because the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Now, this is where it makes a difference. The Son is the word Ben. Man is the word Adam, which is Adam, like Genesis, the first man. Jesus is saying, I am the Son of Man to create a new humanity, to create a new people, that I will take on the identity of the humanity of people in order for people to experience the transformation within their life. Zacchaeus was reconciled to Jericho, and Jericho was a different community by that healing. and your behavior and your life changes your family, your friendships, your workplace, and your neighborhood by the power of His presence working through you, and then to change our world. Man, we're headed towards Easter. We're headed in the direction of God's great reversal. We're moving towards life over death, love over hate, grace over sin, hope over despair. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save you and me and all in His power. Reconciled into the family of God. Sarah and I are going to stand here, and we're going to have some friends underneath the lamp over there. And that you can go and just, there's someone just pray with you. You may have never seen them before, but they're people of prayer and they want to pray with you. And Sarah and I will pray here, and Judd may come up too. And that for some, it is saying, this is the day. On a lightning, flashing Sunday morning, with thunder beckoning across the caverns of San Antonio, on this day, I said yes to Jesus. And on Easter Day, we're going to have resurrection baptism. On Easter Day, we're going to celebrate this new life in Christ. On that day, baptism. If you accept Christ today, be ready for a baptism on Easter Day. But you know who this is? This is your family. This is your campus. This Tri Point, this is your place. This is part of the Trinity Baptist Church, and we're your people, but you've got to put skin in the game in order to be a part. And so that's what membership is. It's not a membership in an organizational club. It's a membership in the body of Christ, the people of God. And it means that we belong, but it means we'll say it. I'm joining in to belong. This is the day for that sacred history to be made. And you have a part to play in the play of your life. Let's stand together and sing.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.